Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Because Jenny Murphy is on the line. Afternoon, Jenny.
Afternoon, how are you guys?
And Keith Wood is with us as well. Afternoon, Keith.
How are you doing, Nathan? Are you well?
Very well. So 7 tries for Ireland. The bonus point secured inside the opening half. A 47-5 victory. Did you get everything you wanted from that performance a week out from a World Cup quarterfinal?
I think so. To be honest, hoping that you're talking to me and I'm not jumping over Jenny. I thought we were very professional. I thought we played a game plan that took a lot of the power away from Samoa. Even though we've played an awful lot of one-out runners and pick-and-go, it really suits playing against Samoa because they don't see a target under which to line up from 10 yards out to make that big hit. So for that reason, yes, I thought we did very well to score that number of tries with Aki having been sent off. Also shows, I think, a high level of capability in the team. I thought Samoa were poor, but I think we did a really, really good job. I think we made them look poor. We never gave them a chance to get into the game. I think they've struggled with the change of the tackle law and bringing that height down. I think they seem to be under huge pressure for that. It's taken away from them. I just thought we played smart. I mean, I wouldn't lose the run of ourselves. I'm pretty happy with the fact that we got the 10 points from the last two games that we played. So happy, very happy, actually.
Jenny, your thoughts then on what was, I think everyone would agree, a very professional performance. If the last 3 weeks were just blanked out, this is exactly what you would have expected Ireland to do. It was just that little lack of confidence that everyone had going into the game.
Yeah, I think, well, as a spectator, I myself was even just a little bit nervous, but knew they'd get the job done. And the fact that they went down to 14 players for 50 minutes against, you know what, it's a very physical and abrasive team. And not only getting 7 tries, but conceding only 1 try, I thought defensively they were quite sound as well. Again, a really strong start, which is what we wanted. And then a little bit of sloppy, loose ball kind of crept into the game for a while. But bonus points, we got what we wanted out of the game. So I think, obviously, the only negative was an Aki red card, which I don't think Schmidt would be, it's not ideal going into a quarterfinals, but
can he have any complaints, Jenny?
Pardon?
Can he have any complaints, Bundy Aki?
I don't think so. I think Nick Berry, the referee, was excellent in the middle of the park. As you're looking at it, and it's something that I could easily put myself into Aki's boots, and it was the ball bounced, it was a reaction, he hit a moving target, he didn't get low, it was direct contact with the head. There was a considerable degree of force. I think it was, and the ref handled it with a degree of sympathy as well. I don't think Aki has too many complaints. I think it was a fair call.
Keith, Joe Schmidt in his post-match interview said, it's hard to argue with the red card decision. The frustration, probably from Irish supporters, was the yellow card for the Samoan player a little bit earlier. Were they two totally different type of incidents for you?
They're actually similar. But just that last dip of Stockdale going into it, plus Lamb had actually hinged his hips, so he was down. He was trying to make the tackle in the right place. And again, the referee went through that very well. So for people who look at it and aren't fully in tune with the recommendations that have come from World Rugby, they look incredibly similar, but the outcomes were, I would have said, exactly correct. So a yellow card for Lamb, because it was a yellow card, it wasn't a red card, and definitely for Aki, it was a red card. And there was I often listen to Steve Hansen kind of spouting rubbish, really, trying to get into people's heads before a weekend. He does that often. But this week, he actually said, listen, the players have to figure it out, that if you're off the field, it's pretty much a disaster for the team. So you have to lower your height. You have to actually tackle, not the way you think you should tackle, but you have to tackle the way the laws are being dictated to that you have to tackle. And that's the one problem I have with Samoa. Samoa complained for the last 2 weeks, we don't quite understand what's been required. And because of that, they've often played in that fashion. So Look, it's a change. It's a total change. People are saying it's making the game less physical. It's not. The game is so super physical that this is a responsible and sensible reaction to people getting fairly hefty hits on the head. So, look, I'm glad it's gone in. I know it's causing a bit of difficulty, but the discipline that has to go in now isn't just the discipline of yore. It's the discipline now to make certain that you make a safe tackle, which probably means slowing down a tiny bit and still trying to tackle with your head up. And that is the difficulty. It's not tackling with your head down, committing to a full aggressive tackle at a million miles an hour. You can still hit with 100% power. You just need a little bit more eye on exactly what's going on.
Keith, it's tough. It just so happened the way it worked out that this was the day then that Robbie Henshaw finally got to play at this World Cup. So he is now a live option for that quarterfinal. Did you see enough from Henshaw? Like Johnny Murphy was making the comment earlier that it's almost like his first preseason game for Robbie Henshaw. Did you see enough that he'd be ready to go in against the All Blacks or South Africa at a World Cup quarterfinal?
I don't have any doubt ever about Robbie Henshaw. I think he's a really class player who's been heavily hampered by injuries. And I don't say this for every player coming back, but I think he can get better and better with it. I thought he was sensible today. I thought the team played in a sensible fashion, which basically meant that he got the way through the game, got the number of minutes he needed to do. It was beneficial for Ireland, beneficial for him. When he has to go all out, he'll go all out. And I think he made a couple of mistakes today, and partly because you're not going at 100 miles an hour either. So, look, I think he'll be absolutely fine. And personally, I think our best partnership pairing, partly because of the injuries, Ringrose has played himself back into form, and I think the pair of those are ideal.
Jenny, Chris Farrell is the other option for Joe Schmidt, and clearly he has a lot of time for Chris Farrell, but this is the World Cup quarterfinal. It's do or die next week. You simply have to go with probably the centre partnership that most people thought would be the centre partnership for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, obviously, like, Chris Farrell is an outstanding player. He's such a powerful carrier of the ball, which is easy to say. He can chuck that out. He's got great hands. But Ringrose, I think, especially during this World Cup, he's been defensively really sound. He's played a lot more with Henshaw than Farrell has. It's been the most familiar kind of partnership we have between the three of them, Henshaw and Ringrose. So I'd imagine that's what Schmidt is going for. And then to have someone like Farrell possibly coming off the bench, you know, that's not a bad fit either. I think it's going to be exciting. And to reiterate what Keith has been saying, Henshaw is the kind of player that, you know, he doesn't need much time to get, you know, dust off the cobwebs. And when he's 100%, he's 100%, and he can do a lot of damage. He's such a smart, intelligent player and huge amounts of pressure on opposition. So I think I'm for one excited about that potential partnership.
Did we see again today, Jenny, that Johnny Sexton just transforms this Ireland team, that when he's on the pitch, anything sort of seems possible?
Yeah, he's, you know, he wasn't World Player of the Year for nothing. Mm. He's the brain of this team, and he makes it tick, everything run over smoothly. You know, he's got his 2 tries, but I think just everything. Even the players seem a little bit more relaxed and calm, and they know the plan, they know what to do. And it was got a little bit frantic at times, or it looked a little bit, we started playing quite tight, and, you know, those one-off hits, rather than potentially looking out, there was a few times where crossfield kicks and stuff were on. I know we played smart, but I think Johnny is, you know, he's the starting 10 for a reason. He's a huge wealth of experience. He's well able to play in those big pressure games, and his boot at the moment is pretty fantastic. So, yeah, all the superlatives for Sexton.
Keith, is that the overwhelming positive of the last month for Ireland? That we've arrived at this World Cup so long awaited, and Johnny Sexton, the marquee player, looks to be actually at his pretty much his very best?
I don't know that he was at his very best today. I thought he was incredibly sensible today. I would have said For me, he was really good to watch because he was outside of danger and risk for nearly the whole game, you know. So I thought he pulled the strings and pulled it well. I thought he played very, very mature. I think it is a good thing for Ireland. But this is not the Johnny Sexton show, and it can't ever be. And we can't ever have it reliant on the fact. Because if Johnny gets injured, is that it? We're gone then. You know, we need to have...
Is it actually? Like, is that what we've seen? Actually, if Johnny's injured, that is it.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think we've been really unfortunate in that Johnny was injured for a long part of it, and so was Joey Carberry. So there are two tens. Joey's had very little game time coming in, and whereas Johnny can come back in and play well, it's because he's got 13 or 14 years experience to rely on. Joey Carberry has only got 3 or 4, you know, so there's a big difference, and he isn't used to playing at that level all the time. So it requires other players to stand up to it. So if we're going to say what's the most encouraging thing of today, not over the last month, most encouraging thing today is that Rory Best led from the front, got a try. Tadhg Furlong has come back into form. CJ Stander came back into form. I thought he played very well. I thought 9 and 10 played well. And actually, I thought Larmour had a really fine game. You know, so suddenly there's a couple of young guys there, but a lot of the older guys put their hands up and said, okay, maybe we need to share some of this weight as well and not just leave it on one guy's shoulders. That's the most encouraging part of today.
Our rugby coverage brought to you by Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. Keith, a lot of the texts we're getting in are critical, again, of the lack of flair. A text in saying Ireland are anti-rugby. From particularly focusing on the second half when the game was won and they were still just trying to barge the way over. From what you were saying there at the start, you felt actually maybe that was the sensible option against this Samoan side.
I think in certain cases, I think we've seen too much of that over the last year, actually. But let's not throw out when it's right and when it's effective. So what Samoa have done, what they've done from the earliest times I remember seeing them play and then playing against them, is what they do is they line you up and they go for the big crushing tackle. So what you try and do is take the game away from them totally. It absolutely frustrates them, puts them under huge pressure. And you minimize the mistakes. You minimize the penalties that you give away. You don't let them be in charge of the pace. And it really, really puts them under huge pressure. So I think Ireland did that very well. Is it exciting? Was today an exciting game of rugby that just puts joy into your heart? No. But I'm happy with that for today. I really am. So if we go and play like that next week and against New Zealand or South Africa, I'd be saying, well, that's not how to play against them. There has to be a lot of changes from how we play with it. But you play one game at a time. And the most important thing that we did today was we got out of the game. We got our 5 points and we'd no injuries. And that was another part. So you set it up just for the risk to score a great try. And yet in the midst of it, which I thought was absolutely, there was a risk to an interception, but not to a huge hit. It was a fantastic left-handed pass from Conor Murray, flat to the line for Larmour to score in the corner. It was a cracking try. But so there were bits, but not a lot. And it's not anti-rugby. It's definitely anti-risk on a day like today.
The Samoa coach, Steve Jackson, says, we came across a fine Irish side, tactically very good when they were down to 14 men. They starved us of the ball, impossible to make any impact. Jenny, in terms of selection then, looking towards next week, Jordan Larmour was man of the match and again impressed. Rob Carney, maybe a slight niggle, just wasn't 100%, so there was no point risking him. Was there anything Larmour could do today to put that seed of doubt in Joe Schmidt's mind that he'd get in ahead of Rob Carney for a match against South Africa and New Zealand? Or actually, does he just need to accept maybe that last 20 minutes off the bench is the most he can expect next week?
Well, you know, putting in a man-of-the-match performance, it's not the worst thing that you can do to try and put up your hand and convince the coach that maybe you should give me a shot. But, you know, Carney's strength is he's so consistent at fullback. He's such an intelligent player. And he's got that game experience, like positioning everything. And even playing with Russia, who I know aren't the strongest side, can see glimpses of why, you know, Schmidt consistently picks them all the time. In saying that as well, this isn't the first time that Larmour has beaten, you know, 12 defenders at test level, which is hugely impressive. Like, he can, you know, he can step you in a phone box. So So it's, but again, like, you're seeing the likes of Sexton, Best, Murray, Furlong, Ryan, they all came off early. So we know that they're, you know, in Joe Schmidt's plans. I think it just depends on Kearney's injury. You could be facing South Africa or New Zealand. Probably New Zealand. I know for one, I'd probably, you know, put Kearney in the back line, what he's capable of doing. And, you know, he's smart against those, against world-class players. It'll be tough to shift. But, you know, Larmour's getting up there. It's not, it's a more difficult decision as, you know, the competition is progressing, which is credit due to Larmour. He's playing some good rugby.
Keith, you probably have a decent idea of the inner workings of world rugby. Interesting in the last few minutes that both the Samoa coach Steve Jackson and their captain Jack Lamb have called for Bundiaki to escape a ban and to be available for next week's quarterfinal. Does that have any impact?
No.
None.
None whatsoever. Can't.
Right. He's going to, you assume, miss next week and possibly the rest of the tournament?
I think it looks like he'd miss next week. Mm. I think it was entirely accidental. So I think the bobbling ball put him into a position where he was in the wrong part, but he made a fairly full full force contact with the head, with his shoulder. So that's why. I 100% think it was because of the nature of what just happened in the immediate 2 seconds. But that's like you can't, that's what they're trying to move the game from, is to try not eliminate risk per se, but try and move away from that level of head contact. People agree or disagree with it, but that's exactly what's happening with World Rugby at the moment. They're trying to bring the level of the tackle down so that it's far safer. It isn't just safe for these people who are playing today, but it's safer for kids who are learning to train tomorrow, which maybe do not have all the medical assistants on the sideline, do not have all the coaches that everybody else. Of course they don't have it. So it is to try and make it into a safer game. So for that, it needs to be, the head has to be sacrosanct.
Jenny, it's going to be a fascinating 24 hours for many reasons before the quarterfinal lineup is complete. It's out of Ireland's hands now as to whether it's New Zealand or it's South Africa. Which would you prefer?
Listen, they're both not the nicest choices to have to make. But to be fair, at the moment, I'd probably prefer South Africa. You kind of, to a rough extent, know what you're going to get creatively when they have the ball. It can be a little bit lacking, but they're big lumps of men. So it will be an extremely physical game. And then with a team like New Zealand, you've got, you know, stunning players across the park, and they can make something out of nothing as well. So it's a World Cup quarter final, and you have to beat the best to get your hands on the cup. So I'm just delighted that we've got there now, and whoever we'll face, I'm sure that Schmidt has some plan up his sleeve.
Keith, this is a huge 24 hours it feels for this World Cup, and whether or not the Japan-Scotland game can go ahead and all the ramifications that will be there if it doesn't, and if it does, what a game it will be in terms of filling that quarter-final slot. I know you were on earlier in the week talking about the integrity of the competition. Now that it's got here, how important do you feel it is that this game does go ahead?
I think it's very important, and I think it's been pushed to the last day to figure out whether you can play it or not. That just doesn't seem right for me, you know. And I think we discussed during the week, if one of the contingencies was that you should play in an empty stadium, then you should play in an empty stadium. Apparently the rain is coming down in biblical proportions at the present moment in time. So will that have subsided in time by tomorrow? Unlikely, apparently. So I think it's a dreadful pity within it, because you should never take anything away from human cost, and you should never take anything away from safety. But the contingency of it just being a draw, comes across as being painfully wrong.
Yeah, not exactly
wrong,
a robust contingency plan.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty controversial 48 hours, I suspect. Keith, you're going to be with us on Tuesday night, when we're at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Michael Lyna is coming over. Bobby Skinstead, the former South African captain, will be there. We'll have yourself, Brian O'Driscoll, Paul Howard, Mal O'Kelly, Danny O'Reilly from the Coronas, offtheball.com/events. What do you want to be talking about? Ireland, New Zealand or Ireland, South Africa in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, I don't really care. I just want to have a bit of fun with them. There's a lot of guys there with good humor. Though I'm looking at the screen here for anybody that's anybody that's listening on radio. Have a little look on Facebook Live and look at the two lads in the studio. They wince and grimace over every single thing that is actually happening. It's well worth watching. They can't hear me, which is quite funny. I don't know if they know that they're on air, but they are on air. Yeah.
They can hear it's now. Keith Wood is slagging me off. Yeah.
Our facial reactions there and getting a kick out of us, Stephen. So
it's still 0-0 between Georgia and Ireland, despite all their wincing. Some of them are actually positive winces.
Yeah. No, we're gonna have a lot of fun on Wednesday night. There's a couple of the greats of the game. Michael Lyna, who was one of my heroes growing up. I played against him a few times. Really, really good guy. Bobby Skinstead too, who never quite got, I think, his far as he would have liked it with South Africa, but my God, was he was the most extortionately talented back row forward. So we're going to have a bit of crack, and of course we'll have Mal O'Kelly and Ross O'Carroll Kelly. That's what we'll have as well. So we'll have a bit of fun with that, you know.
All right, great stuff, Keith. We shall talk to you on Tuesday night at the Bord Gáis Energy. Let's hope both of us turn up on Tuesday night when it's actually happening. And Jenny, thank you as always. We shall talk to you over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
Jenny Murphy there and Keith Wood reflecting on Ireland's 47-5 victory over Samoa. Ireland through to the World Cup quarterfinals. Keith said the typhoon very much arriving in Japan in the last few hours. Biblical rain, and if that doesn't stop, well, unfortunately, it's very hard to see how that Scotland-Japan game will go ahead. They're expecting maybe 10 o'clock Irish time tonight. There may be a decision on that. Check out offtheball.com. We'll bring you that as soon as we hear anything.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.